This is Thinkinclusive. I'm Tim Villegas. I love books. Hardbacks, paperbacks, ebooks, audiobooks. I just love reading, period. And my to-be-read pile is stacked very, very high right now. A series that has been on my TBR list for years has been the Out of My Mind series by Sharon Draper. And I was very much hesitant to read the series at first, but something changed my mind. More on that and my interview with the author of the series after a short break.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Think Inclusive. Each week, we bring you conversations about inclusive education and what inclusion looks like in the real world. Sharon M. Draper is a distinguished educator and author recognized as National Teacher of the Year and a 5-time winner of the Coretta Scott King Literary Award. Her novel, Out of My Mind, was a New York Times bestseller. Draper has received numerous accolades, including the Milken Educator Award and the Margaret A. Edwards Award for Lifetime Literary Achievement. She's been honored at the White House and spoke at the National Book Festival Gala. Her work, Copper Sun, is internationally acclaimed and was named one of the 100 best books of all time by Time Magazine. This episode of Think Inclusive, we are joined by Sharon Draper, an exceptional voice in middle grade literature whose books have captivated readers across the globe. Draper takes us behind the scenes of her creative process during the conversation, sharing the inspirations and challenges that shape her memorable characters and their stories. We begin with a deep dive into Draper's most beloved character, Melody, from the Out of My Mind series. We're given a unique window into Melody's world, exploring self-acceptance, belonging, and disability representation. Sharon outlines her meticulous approach to research, emphasizing the importance of authenticity in crafting a character like Melody, who has cerebral palsy, and navigates a myriad of personal and social challenges. We talk about Melody's experience in summer camp in the second book in the series, Out of My Heart, Melody's friendships, and her quest for inclusion. We wrap up the episode with an exciting teaser from the upcoming third book in the series, where Melody's adventures will take her out of the country. Do you believe that all children with and without disabilities deserve to reach their potential through inclusive education? If so, you'll love Brooks Publishing, the premier publisher of books and tools on early childhood, special education, communication and language, and more. Brooks Publishing has been partnering with top experts for over 30 years to bring you the best resources for your classroom, clinic, or home. To learn more, visit brookspublishing.com to browse their catalog, read their blog, and sign up for their newsletter. Brooks Publishing, helping you make a difference in the lives of all children. And just for Think Inclusive listeners, visit bit.ly/brooks-0324 to put your name in to win a copy of the Facilitator's Guide to the Paraprofessional's Handbook for Effective Support in Inclusive Classrooms, or the IEP Checklist, your guide to creating meaningful and compliant IEPs. We will be taking names until the end of the month, and maybe a little bit into April. And now, my interview with Sharon M. Draper. Mrs. Sharon Draper, welcome to the Think Inclusive podcast.
Well, I am delighted to be here as I try to turn off my phone so that it doesn't ring, because it always does when I'm in the middle of something important. Watch, it's going to.
I know. Here. In fact, I should probably do that right now, too.
Yeah. Let's see. Settings. Okay, put it on airplane mode. All right, I beat.
Yeah. I've actually been in interviews where my phone rings and my phone is connected to my recording device, so you can actually hear the ring in
the recording. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, you have a furry friend back there with you.
This is Tookie. Come on. She knows when I have interviews that she gets cookies.
Oh.
Come here. Okay. Come up. Say hello.
Hi, Cookie.
Say hello.
Oh, hey there.
She's in both books and briefly in the third book. So, but Melody has a golden retriever. So,
yeah.
And yes. I've had like 4 golden retrievers in my life. So, there's a golden retriever in all my books someplace.
Yeah. Isn't that, it's Butterscotch? Is that right?
Yeah. Butterscotch in Out of My Mind.
In the book. Yes. Okay, great. Yeah. Well, I want to start off with just a quick story about my daughter. She's 11 years old. She's in sixth grade. And probably in fifth grade, she picked up Out of My Mind and was like, hey, daddy, you know, you used to be a teacher, you were a special education teacher. Have you ever read Out of My Mind? And I was like, no, actually, I haven't. I've heard about it. I know about it, but I have not read it. And so she's like, daddy, you got to read it. You got to read it. And then she got Out of My Heart and she read it and loved it and said, daddy, you need to read Out of My Mind and Out of My Heart. And so I was like, okay, you're right. I need to read it. It's been on my list for years. I just haven't done it. And then one day we were on the couch, I think just relaxing, and I saw my daughter reading your books again, probably for the second or third time. And it dawned on me, this story has really captivated my daughter, and has really inspired her to know more about what I do, what I did as a teacher, and then also what we do as an organization, because MCIE works with school districts on how to, be more inclusive for all learners. And I was like, I need to reach out to Mrs. Draper and see if she would want to be on Think Inclusive, our podcast. And here you are.
I'm delighted. I'm glad to be.
And so I did tell my daughter, hey, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask Mrs. Draper a question. So I'm going to queue up the question. We'll listen to it and then we'll have you answer it. Does that sound good? All right.
Yeah, I like giving questions from the young people.
All right, here we go.
Why did you choose cerebral palsy as the disability for Melody when you could have chosen from many others?
Okay, good question. Why did I choose cerebral palsy? Well, when you're an author, I wish you could see, I guess you can see behind me, the stacks of books behind me. And then I've got another bookshelf full of books on this side. Mm-hmm. I was a reader as a child. And I liked reading about young people with challenges, young people that were different, young people that had to do something different. There was a book called Danny Dunn and the Homework Machine. It's an oldie but goodie. But it's about this kid that invented a homework machine that could, you know, so nobody had to do homework because you just typed it into the homework machine. Kids now have homework machines on their tablets, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But Danny Dunn was way before his time. So I was a reader, and I knew that I wanted to write about a child that was different, that was struggling, that was just as smart as anybody else. Because I taught for like 9 million years. And always the young person who learns differently. You know, I've had blind kids. I've had kids in wheelchairs. I've had kids with various devices, you know, because we were in a school district that had a general population, but everybody was welcome as long as they could figure out a way to get them up and down the stairs and, you know, on the elevators and so forth. So when you're a writer, you have to choose your problem. Okay. You have to choose what the difficulty will be. Any movie that you watch, I don't know what the current movie is that all the kids are watching, but give me one that's popular that they're watching.
Oh, gosh. Something let's see. Oh, gosh. Now you put me on the spot, Mrs. Draper.
I don't know. Barbie.
Barbie's good. My kids watch Barbie. That's got a big problem, right?
Yeah. Okay. So what is Barbie's problem? How does Barbie solve the problem? How does Barbie, you know, get from point A to point B? How do you write a story about a fashion model, you know, who has a perfect life with a perfect boyfriend? How do you make this fictional character seem real when you make it into a movie? So there's an awful lot you have to think about. So you choose your character. Your character has to have a problem, because if you have a character that has no issues, okay, my name is Susie. I am perfect. I make straight B's. I've never been rained on. Nothing bad has ever happened to me. My dog has never been hit by a car. I've never, been lost in the woods. I've never, you know, so you have to create a problem. Otherwise, nobody wants to read it. Your character has to have a problem. It has to be a believable problem, and it has to be a solvable problem, or at least a challenge that can be dealt with. So I chose that after lots and lots of research and gave Melody, I've had students with lots of medical conditions. And so I gave Melody a medical condition and I just worked at it. I did tons and tons and tons and tons of research. I'm thinking almost a year of research before I even began to study. I remember I used to visit schools all the time, and I went and I talked to the school, and there was a young lady there in a wheelchair, and she raised her hand, and she had difficulty speaking, and she said, "I think you ought to write a movie about a kid like me. I mean, write a book about a kid like me." And I said, "That's a good idea." And then everybody else in the classroom, "Yeah, how about me? And how about me? And how about me?" So you have to find your person. You have to find your problem. You have to define the problem. You have to somehow come to a resolution, or at least acceptance of the problem. And it has to have a satisfying end so that the reader, when they finish, say, "Oh, that was good." It's hard. It's long, and it takes years to do. So it's kind of hard to answer in 2 minutes, but that's a good question and a hard question. And if you want to be a writer, you have to do that. Another thing I tell students, if you want to be, let's say you want to be a painter, you have to decide if this painting is going to be red or blue or blue with green speckles? Or is it going to have people in it? Or is it going to have dogs in it? Or is it going to be funny? Is it going to be sad? You, as the creator, get to decide that. So I have a zillion options, and those are the options that I chose for this book.
Yeah. And Melody is real, you know, like I know she's a character. I know that she's a complete fiction, but when you read the books, the problems are real. The problems are what a lot of people face, particularly those with disabilities. So let me share this with you. So I was hesitant to read the books. I was a special education teacher for 16 years. And
the group.
I know. Yes. So, and I taught in self-contained special education classrooms. I had students with various,
you taught in age five. I did.
And actually what's really funny is I taught in a school where we had a pod A. So it's very similar.
And that's something
is very similar. And you know, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are educators and that are special education teachers. And so this kind of language is really interesting. And I was hesitant to read the book because I had gotten some feedback, particularly from disabled people that I know, like disabled, you know, activists and advocates, that didn't appreciate the way that Melody had, I guess, the language she was using to describe herself and kind of the negative self-talk. But I wanted to talk with you, and I read both books. Because I really see Melody's arc as coming to a self-acceptance and really finding herself and her voice. And, you know, characters aren't perfect, right? Characters grow. And so there's aspects of Melody's, you know, character and arc that are going to resonate with people, and some that may rub people the wrong way. But isn't that the point of having like a rich character? Right.
And if I had made her not realistic, if I had made her not believable, then I would have gotten criticism from the other side. Said, "Oh, you just made this fairy tale person, and it's not like that." Mm-hmm. And a person who has a disability would have trouble going to the bathroom, you know, would worry about, you know, whether she was looking cute for a boy, those kinds of things. So I had to do real world things in order to make it real. And I know I've read the criticisms too, but ultimately I think Melody emerges victorious. And she's one of the few severely handicapped protagonists that emerges victorious. So yay for Melody.
Yeah. And at the end of the first book, and I apologize if I'm spoiling it for, yeah, I mean, everyone should read the books, I think. And then it sounds like there's going to be a third one. But the end of the first book really sets up the acceptance that Melody feels in her life. It's like, well, you know what? If no one else is going to be looking out for me,
I have to look out for herself.
Yes.
Yes.
And while, right, we want classrooms, we want schools, and we want our, you know, community to be accepting of everyone. We want to build environments where everyone can be, you know, thrive and to have belonging. But the way that you set up this problem that Melody has, I think it brings energy to it, right? And it brings energy to the second book, which, you know, again, no spoilers. I think, you know,
she goes to summer camp.
Yeah.
We can talk about that. In the second book, she goes to summer camp and she meets a boy. And she likes a boy and he likes her. So there, you know, so let's give her some points there.
So the second book is Melody Going to Camp. Mm-hmm. And it's a camp that is designed to support, you know, individuals with disabilities. So there's, you know, the camp counselors actually have disabilities, and the campers, you know, are people with disabilities. Is this based on a camp that you were aware of, or you kind of put it together from?
Yes and no, and both. I did a lot of research on camps for kids with disabilities, and there's one probably in every state. Some states have a lot, and you know, some are better funded than others. But I visited a couple of them, and they're really good. The people who work there are just awesome people. You know, they're just really cool people, and they love their jobs, and they, you know, they don't consider it a burden. It's like, hey, why not? Why can't they go camping and go on a rowboat and go, you know, do those kinds of things? So I expanded her world and sent her to camp in the second book. And you want to know what she goes in the third one?
I would love to.
I don't know if I can tell you or not, but she
goes. I don't know either. It's this right. Breaking news.
Breaking news. Book three, she goes out of the country.
Oh, okay.
She goes on a plane ride and she goes out of the country. She becomes a hero. She saves somebody's life. Yes, Melody saves somebody's life. And the long and the short of it, she ends up going to London. And that was due last week. So I've got to hurry up and finish it.
Well, right after you finish, you can just, okay, you know, get on that. Okay.
Yeah, I've got it pretty much together.
in this camp, you know, she meets a boy. She has some really fun experiences and novel experiences, like riding a horse, going on a zip line. But ultimately, it's really like about friendship, right? It's about friendship. It's about belonging. And I'm just wondering, Melody experiences this at the camp, but Melody can experience that anywhere, right? Not just at that camp.
What do you mean? I mean, if there's somebody who's willing to, you know, work with her and cooperate with her and meet her on her level and, you know, deal with what she needs. You know, like I tell kids all the time, if I'm talking to a group of kids in school, I say, raise your hand if you wear glasses. Raise your hand if you can't see without your glasses. It's okay, take your glasses off. And you have to do the next week without your glasses. See, you know, everybody has some sort of disability or some sort of thing that they have to adjust or adapt to. So they see it a lot more that way when they can see something that they, you know, that they could experience. So I tried to make it realistic for kids, and I wanted it to be a learning experience as well, without it being preachy, because kids will run away from a book that's preachy.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Like we have like the school that I used to work for, actually, my daughter goes to the middle school, and they have opportunities, you know, like in 4-H or whatever, or Pod A where I used to work, you know, kids are separated, right? Kids are separated. And so my daughter, who is typically developing and in, you know, general education classrooms, she doesn't have the opportunity to even hang out or spend any time with kids who are different. But they're starting to, at this middle school, expand the opportunities for her to be able to spend time and to actually be friends with people who are different. So, and she was just so excited. Like she definitely saw the connection between me reading or her reading the stories and then experiencing it in real life, you know.
And it's important for young people to do that because we live in a real world. And if you go shopping or you go to the Walmart or Target and somebody comes at you with a wheelchair, you should know to say hi instead of run the other direction, to say hi and wait for a response. Hope you have a good day. I love your blue shirt. That kind of thing. So even if kids just learn that much, that to be friendly to somebody that might look or act or operate differently than they do.
Right. And that's, you know, that's, I mean, it's not enough, right? It's not enough, but it is a starting point.
Start. It's a start. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You said that you're a former educator. So.
Oh, I taught for 30 years.
You taught for 30 years in public schools?
In public school, yeah.
Wow.
Sixth grade through 12th. I've taught them all.
Wow.
I like sixth graders. They don't know everything yet. And seniors know absolutely everything. There's nothing you can teach me except give me my diploma. Yeah, I enjoy it.
Wow. So what got you into writing then?
I was a writing teacher. And, you know, I taught English writing, language, composition, and we did a lot of writing in class. And I dabbled at home a little bit. But what got me started was I had a student, and it was not my best student. It was one of my worst students who found this application for a writing contest in a magazine and said, "You think you're so bad? Why don't you write something?" And so seriously, that's what he said. And so he gave me the application and I said, okay, why not? So I wrote a little story and I sent it in, and it was months before they replied, but I got first prize. So that was my first piece of writing.
Wow. Okay. And so did you, what was your first book? Because I don't think it was Out of My Mind, correct?
No, it was Tears of a Tiger.
Okay. And
Tears is the first one.
So Tears of a Tiger, how far along were you in your teaching career that you published your first book?
I guess near the end. Mm-hmm. I was close to retirement, and the story came out, and I've got my picture in the paper, and it was a big deal, and I had been dabbling more and more with writing. And I had enough years in to retire, so I did. And then I said, okay, I'm going to write full time. I had no idea what that meant.
Wow.
The first book that I wrote, I sent, and I just sent this email to a young lady. I get lots of letters from prospective writers, and I have no answers. Don't write me because I can't help it. I really can't. But what I told her was, my first book I sent to 25 different publishers, and I got 24 rejection letters in a row. And this is before we had email. These came in the mail, postage mails, big, thick rejection letters. No, 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 no. 24 of those. And it took months for them all to come. And so I was depressed and down and said, well, maybe I'm not such a writer after all. But the very last one was a yes, and it was Simon & Schuster. So the rest is history.
Wow. Wow. And you just continued to publish books, and now you're publishing the third book in the, I guess, are you calling it a particular series? Is it the Out of?
It's the Out of My Something.
Out of My Something. So the third book will have that.
Out of My Mind, Out of My Heart. And this one is Out of My, I'm not telling, but it's Out of My Something.
Yes. Out of My, yeah. That might be too far. Your publisher might not like that.
Yes. But it's okay. We're in first edits, which is the hardest. And my editor is just like I was with my students. She goes over that thing with a fine tooth comb. Well, what about this? And what about this? And you left this out and you never resolved that problem. And what about this? And how could she possibly? And what do you think? And she's good, though. I love her and I hate her. She's very good.
You need a good editor. You need a good editor. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I produce this interview podcast, so I don't, you know, I edit myself. I don't have an editor, but I did do a narrative series where I'm telling the stories of inclusive schools and families moving towards full inclusion for their children, and lots of different interviews, lots of different narration and script writing on my part. I wish I had somebody going over with a fine tooth comb, because as you know, as a writer, editing yourself is so difficult.
You can't do it because you can't see your mistakes. Whereas a different person could look at it and say, well, she said blue 14 times in the last 6 pages. How about if we vary the colors? Oh, you know, it's the kind of thing I wouldn't have noticed, but an editor does. But then she does things like, okay, you've got this, but this doesn't make sense and this doesn't follow through. And you mentioned this in chapter 12, but you never went back to it. So either continue it or delete it. Oh, she's hard. She's really hard. She's good. Yeah.
That's great. Okay. So a couple questions popped up about Melody. And so a couple different interesting characteristics about Melody is synesthesia, right? That she can see. Well, she can see colors based on, is it music?
Yes, she can see colors. She can feel music. Synesthesia is a wide variety of definitions, but it's people who can interpret the senses differently than other people. And, you know, so if you can feel for, if you ever see, I don't know, a puppy that's been hit by a car, your feelings, you know, what are those feelings? You know, if you go in the, I used to tell my students, focus on the five senses. You know, if you walk outside barefoot in the snow, what does it feel like? Have you been barefoot in the sand? What is the difference between barefoot in the snow and barefoot in the sand on a beach? You know, what's the difference? You know, how many different colors of blue can you mention? What do armpits smell like after a basketball game? So you've got to include all of the senses.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was really interesting. And then the other aspect, which we haven't talked about yet, is that Melody is non-speaking, but uses a communication device and she types to communicate. So it's interesting because you talked about the beginning of our conversation, setting up the problems, right? So we like with as far as Melody goes, she has a lot of problems that she's got to solve, right? Not only like the ableism that is inherent in kind of our society, but also she has communication that she wants to get out that she had to figure out how to do, right?
She's got a mind, and she's got so much to say.
Right, exactly. So was that more of like a literary convention, like trying to like come up with a problem that was so big to make her character? Or was it like you trying to, like, what was behind that particular?
I get asked that question a lot. I don't use literary conventions for the sake of, okay, let's put some symbolism here on page 12. You know, it's how the story developed. I tell kids, you've got to make sure you use all the sensory input possible. And so since Melody's had difficulties with parts of her body, her other senses would be heightened. And a lot of people, like blind people, can often hear very good. And, you know, people who have certain disabilities have other things that are better than others. Mm-hmm. So I did a lot of research to make it realistic and to make sure that it was, true to a character like this. It took a long time.
Yeah.
You know, it was not written overnight. It was several years I worked on.
Well, and then so Out of My Mind came out in 2010, is that right?
Uh-huh.
And then Out of My Heart came out just within the last
2 years ago.
2 years?
Last year, I think it was 2 years, yes.
Okay, but as far as it took 10 years, did you want to was it just, were you working on other things?
And I've written like 20 other books. So yeah,
right,
I
right,
wrote
right.
a lot of other books while I was waiting to do the next one. Yeah.
Right, so, right.
I wrote Blended.
Oh yeah, right. Yes.
Which is about a girl who she's a biracial child, and in addition to being biracial, her parents are divorced. And so she lives with her mom 1 week, and her mom works as a waitress at Chuck E. Cheese or something like that. And her mother is white, her father is black, and he is wealthy, you know, a rich attorney, you know. So she's blended so many ways. She's blended racially, she's blended socially, she's blended culturally, and she's 12, so she doesn't know where she falls in the world. You know, where is my place? Where do I fit in? As most kids this age, as they're approaching adolescence, feel like they don't fit in anywhere. So Blended shows how she manages to awkwardly sometimes blend her family and her life together.
Mm-hmm.
You have to read that. Tell your daughter, she can read that one. She's old enough to read it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah. In fact, I think she told me about it, that she wanted to read that one. As for you, all the books that you've written, is there like a common theme that,
themes are something that teachers ask students to do. What is the theme of this book? Writers don't do that. You write a story, you create a character, you create a problem, you try to solve the problem, and whatever conclusion the reader comes to at the end of it, that's the theme. I don't find a theme. You know, the students said, did you plan for the theme to be, we should all love each other? I said, yeah. You know, it's like, I don't plan a theme. I write the story. I write the characters. I create the problems. You figure out the theme. I don't do that.
Interesting. So you're just basically creating worlds, right?
Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's
yeah. Yeah, exactly. So there's a movie coming out.
Yeah, there's a movie coming out.
There's a movie coming out. Out of My Mind premiered at Sundance.
Yes.
It was actually this year, January of 2024, right?
Yes.
Just a while ago. What was that like to experience the story that you wrote being envisioned on the big screen?
Well, first of all, you have to step back and let go, because it's no longer your baby. it belongs to somebody else who's dressing it up in different clothing. So they did a wonderful job. You know, I've seen the movie. They've done a really good job. The young lady who they chose to play the part of Melody actually has cerebral palsy. And she's a fine actress. And how they found her, I don't know. But she really, really did a good job. All of the cast did a really excellent, excellent job. When I saw the whole thing in the movie theater, I cried. I mean, it was genuine. It was that good. They did an excellent job. It will be released on the Disney Channel. I don't know. So it's finished, but I don't have anything to do with the negotiations between the company that made the movie and the Disney people. I have nothing to do with that. I get emails that say, oh, by the way, it'll be out on Tuesday. So they have not given me a date, but I know that it's going to be on Disney. I know that it's going to be soon. I just don't know when.
Okay.
And it will be interesting to see what students think of the interpretation. Because every time I read a book and see the movie, I always like the book better. Mm-hmm. So, because it's somebody else's interpretation of what these characters are. But I think they did a very fine job. I'm very pleased with it.
Well, I mean, that's good. Since you wrote it and you have that opinion, I think that that's probably a good sign.
I didn't have much choice, but they just
yeah, exactly. Are there any plans for other movies, or I guess it just depends on how this one does?
They haven't told me, so I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
They had tiptoe talked about doing the camping thing, mm-hmm. but it has to be filmed in the summer. They have to find a camp. They got to get permission to film inside a camp someplace. And so it may not happen, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It may happen, you know, in 5 years. I don't know.
Right. Right. And then, you've already talked about the third book and, so the continuation of Melody's story, and that will come out sometime in 2025, probably.
Yes, because I have to turn it in. It's March, and I have to turn it in by September, I think, which is cutting it close. And then they have to chop it and fix it, and then they send it back for corrections, and then we do it, and we go through the fixing and the editing. It's kind of like what I did with my students. You know, you write the thing, I give you corrections, you do it again, you do it again. So it won't be soon, but it's coming.
Yeah,
they have talked about the book too, but I don't know.
Excellent, excellent. So a lot of our listeners are educators. They're teachers either in the classroom, or maybe they're principals, or they might even be district leaders, like administrators, assistant superintendents. What is, if anything, would you want them to walk away with from our conversation, talking about Melody, talking about, educating learners, anything on top of mind?
Well, first of all, I'd like to give a general word to all of them. Quit taking books out of libraries. Quit taking books away from teachers. Quit taking books out of classrooms. Let children read. If I, as a parent, don't want my child to read that book, that's my right. But you, as an administrator, do not have the right to tell my child what they cannot read. I live in Florida. In Florida, there are entire wings of buildings that are empty because all the books have been removed. Horrible, terrible books like Frog and Toad Are Friends, because it talks about an interracial relationship between a frog and a toad. I have the list. There's like 400 books on here. Children's books that we read as kids, harmless books books that somebody said, oh, no, that approaches this particular subject. And it's not talking about anything bad. It's not talking. There's no sex. There's no violence. There's no killing. There's interaction of people getting along. And they've been, there's thousands of them that have been removed from the schools in Florida. And it's very, very sad and makes me very angry.
Wow. Mrs. Draper bringing the fire about book banning. No, I really, I really appreciate that.
Quit banning books. My goodness. You want to ban something, ban math. That's hard.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. Fantastic. After a quick break, the mystery question.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The mystery question is, if you were a captain of a ship, what would you call it?
I would call it, get me off of this thing. No, I would call it something having to do with, I'd have to think about it. I'd have to do something to do with queen, something to do with water, and something to do with movement. I went on one cruise and I didn't like it. I felt overwhelmed by the volume of water and by the distance from land where I could actually touch ground. So it brought fear in me, and I don't often feel fear, but it made me feel fearful.
Interesting.
And I know that there are a lot of things that young people face that is very fearful in their life. And they have lives that are very difficult from the lives that I grew up. I grew up with a mommy and a daddy and a brother and a sister and a cat and a dog. I had a perfect life. Mm. But there are kids that don't have that. And so I would like to do something that would touch and reach and help those kids that need love and support and connection and compassion. I don't know if that answered the question or not, but it's...
That's okay. It's okay, because we can go however we want with this. And I don't know what I would call a ship that I were a captain of, but it does... What you said, it reminded me, my grandfather, his name is Julio, and he had a fishing boat that he would, and I would go deep sea fishing. I grew up in the Los Angeles area, and we would go with my cousin deep sea fishing. And I just remember the feeling of going out and like fishing and like him helping me with the bait and the hooks and everything like that. And we'd spend all day, like we'd get there like at 5 or 6 in the morning, and then we'd go until 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and we'd come back and we would drive from Long Beach is probably where we where we went out and then went back home. And I remember when I would get off the boat, I felt like I was still moving, you know, because of the your body and your senses are constantly moving on the boat. And that feeling would last like for hours and hours. And that's just a really nice memory that I have of now. Do I go fishing anymore? No, but I remember it.
Yeah. And that's a good memory that you have. And that's the kind of thing that we have to do with children is give them connections and memories and things that they might not do. I will never go on another boat, not on purpose, you know, because it wasn't fun. I didn't enjoy it. It was terrifying to me. But you have to do it in order to learn that, nope, that's on my list of things I won't do. But the fact that it brings you fond memories of your grandfather makes it a very special memory.
Mrs. Sharon Draper, thank you so much for being on the Think Inclusive podcast. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, it was certainly a delight. I love talking to young people, young readers, older people, and people who have children who might be readers and potential readers. And my final words are to just, you know, curl up with a favorite person and read together.
That's it for this episode of Think Inclusive. We appreciate each and every one of you that hit play on this episode. If you want to say hi, I would love it. You can email me at tvillegas@mcie.org. That's tvillegas@mcie.org. Or find us on the socials at think_inclusive. We're pretty much that everywhere. I'm personally really liking Threads lately, so check us out on there if you want. Thanks to Brooks Publishing for being a sponsor this season. Make sure to go to brookspublishing.com and check out their catalog. No doubt you will find something very useful. Original music by Miles Kredich. Additional music from Melody. That's melod.ie if you're interested in checking them out. Thanks for your time and attention, and remember, inclusion always works. I do a segment at the end of every interview called the mystery question. And they're usually harmless questions. I read the question and then we both answer it. Now, again, I'm going to edit this out. Again, if it's something you don't want to answer, that's totally fine. Just let me know and we will, you know, if you're up for it, we can do it.
There's never been a question asked that I could not think of an answer for.
Okay, here we go.
I challenge you.
Okay. All right.
From MCIE.